Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Gil Martin, glad to be with you here today on the Locked On NHL podcast. We are joined today by three of our local experts to discuss some of the biggest issues from around the NHL today. First, we will be joined by Jared Ellis of Locked On Carolina Hurricanes to talk about that team's fast start. Then, Armando Velez of Locked On Florida Panthers will discuss his team's good start and how the fallout of the resignation of Joel Quenneville will be affecting the Florida Panthers. And finally, we're joined by Jack Bushman of Locked On Blackhawks as he discusses his team's fallout from the scandal surrounding the Kyle Beach sex assault that occurred back in 2010. First, I want to thank everybody for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. First up today, we'd like to welcome in Armando Velez of Locked On Florida Panthers. So Armando, thank you so much for doing this. Let's start with the controversy that broke out last week in the midst of the sex abuse scandal. Joel Quenneville, who was in 2010 when the events took place, coach of the Chicago Blackhawks, had a meeting with the commissioner and then resigned as head coach of the Florida Panthers. Your initial reaction and your thoughts about the resignation?
It was something not surprising, for sure. And after the report came out, after Kyle Beach came out publicly saying everything, detailing the meeting in his office, saying how he couldn't know, after the statement that he made back in July saying that about first hearing it, it was just he put himself in a situation that it was going to be hard for him to keep his job. And I was telling you before we started recording that I found out while recording my episode on for Friday's show that I found out mid-recording, so my listeners got to hear my raw reaction to Coach Quenneville resigning as the head coach of the Florida Panthers. But it was something that it was inevitable. It was not avoidable after everything, and it had to happen. It sucks for Coach Q, but more importantly, it sucks for Kyle Beach, because we're talking about human beings here. We're talking about everything that happened, about something that could have been solved right then and there, and choosing not to do something about it. And that is the worst part of it all, the trauma that Kyle Beach went through after people not believing him, letting him down and all that. And on the hockey side of things, it stinks for the Panthers. It really does. That, and especially after their game on Wednesday, where Kyle Beach, the interview with Rick Westhead of TSN came out, and an hour later, Coach Quenneville's behind the bench in Florida, which drew a lot more controversy. And he didn't speak to the media after. So it's like, why do you put him there to behind the bench but not answer the media? And it was just confusing. And at that time, when they said that he was going to meet with the commissioner on Thursday, it was just time to many people knew that it was time that was his going to be his last game coaching the Panthers at that time.
And obviously, you know, Coach Q has won, what is it, 3 Stanley Cups, second all time in wins among NHL coaches. And obviously this is going to put some tarnish on that previously wonderful legacy that he had.
Absolutely. And won 2 more after that because that was his first Stanley Cup out of the 3 for the Panthers side of things. It was a splash when they originally hired him, because of course he's friends with Dale Talon, who's no longer with the organization. And the relationship act there between Talon and Q really helped bring him in, change the culture on the ice. But of course, after this controversy, after this scandal that went on, it really leaves a bad taste in the mouth of fans of, and for the Florida Panthers players, I really feel bad for them that they had to answer very difficult questions in a thing that they weren't involved in. And having, and many Mackenzie Weegar, I wanna pinpoint something that he said after Friday's win against Detroit in overtime, that he talked about the veterans who stepped up. He talked about someone like Patrick Hornquist. He talked about someone like Joe Thornton today has been placed on IR for the Florida Panthers. So he talked about the veteran leadership, about what happened after the fact of Joe Quenneville's resignation, how it brought the team together. And even though Coach Q's gone, his presence spiritually and emotionally is still in that locker room because those assistant coaches absorbed his team like a sponge, and it's going that it just won't go away overnight. And as far as the play on the ice, I never thought when that resignation happened that this Florida Panthers team would miss a beat. Sure, they lost on Saturday night in a shootout against Boston, but you went all the way to a shootout against your division rival after beating them 4-1 on last Wednesday. So this team is still a very, very talented team that Bill Zito was able to build. And, you know, this is probably like my 10th time mentioning this throughout my podcast on Twitter, is cheer for the players. Cheer for the players of the Florida Panthers. Celebrate them in their success and what they're doing in light of all of this controversy.
As far as the coaching situation is concerned, what is this team looking like going forward? Is the current situation an interim situation? Is it a permanent situation? How is this team going to respond long term?
Well, the interim head coach's name is Andrew Brunette. He played 1,100 games in the NHL, served as an assistant coach for the Florida Panthers for 3 years, was an assistant coach with the Minnesota Wild for a little bit, and an assistant GM too. So he has front office experience and assistant coaching experience during his time. So the resume was there for Andrew Brunette to become the interim head coach. And nothing told me that they were going to hire anyone from outside of the organization to change what was already the system there in Florida, of what was already passed down. And sure, Kevin Weeks did tweet about John Tortorella, but some of the players, especially Anthony Duclair, they don't have the greatest relationship with Anthony Duclair during their time in Columbus. John Tortorella flat out said that Anthony Duclair couldn't comprehend hockey. And Anthony Duclair right now for the Florida Panthers at this point in time is leading the Cats in goals with 6. So Anthony Duclair with this team had a rough start, had a whole bunch of assists, but he was having a hard time with his breakaways, finishing, and he's doing a better job finishing. There's also different players like Sergei Bobrovsky. There's Marcus Nudavara. There's also Zach Delpy, who's an AHLer who just got called up in light of Joe Thornton, and Anton Lundell. Anton Lundell's another one that went on IR on Friday. So there's plenty of other players who have played with John Tortorella. I get it. The general manager was with John Tortorella as well, and Bill Zito during his time in Columbus. So I get why. And John Tortorella came out on ESPN saying that Alexander Barkov is the best player in the NHL. I don't know what that statement meant, if that was a cry for wanting to become the head coach of the Panthers. And he said it publicly on ESPN that he hadn't had any talks with the Cats. I don't know if I buy that though, but because of their relationship. But I think it would be best to evaluate what Brunette has here now with the Cats, because this is still a very talented team that the Florida Panthers have. And if they're winning and Andrew Brunette's behind the bench, they're likely going to keep him if the performance reflects everything outside of that. And so I think they're just going to evaluate until the season ends, and the expectation for this Florida Panthers team still remains to not only make the playoffs, but go far into the playoffs. The Florida Panthers, 17 points out of a possible 18 in nine games. So the expectation is just worry about winning hockey games right now. And then we'll reevaluate Andrew Brunette's position probably in the offseason.
You mentioned Sergei Bobrovsky. He has really been outstanding this year, a little bit shaky at times a year ago. What's been the difference in your mind watching him on a game in and game out basis?
As far as the difference between Sergei Bobrovsky is off the ice, he became a dad for the first time. So I ran with this thing called Dad Bob for Sergei Bobrovsky. And also he deleted social media as well. So it looks as if he eliminated a distraction based on that. So he's been off of social media. He became a dad. So it looked like he's more focused. And I'll tell you one other thing, Gil. I think he saw what happened with Spencer Knight being the last goalie standing in the first round, starting the last two games. Sure, Sergei Bobrovsky came in relief in game three when Chris Drieger gave up a few goals, and he won that game for Florida. But he saw that with Spencer Knight being the last goalie standing, that it was an extra motivation for him to have a great season. One thing that David Dork of WPLG Local 10 in South Florida talks about, who played the position of goalie, he talks about how Sergei Bobrovsky, when players are on the rush, that his skates are at the end of the crease. He's not going too much out, which leaves a little bit of a lower percentage shot for opposing players. So that's the difference that he's seeing in Sergei Bobrovsky, that he's not creeping up too much, especially on breakaways. I mean, and it's resulting in his numbers, 6-0-0, 1.81 goals against average, and a 944 save percentage.
Yeah, very impressive numbers, and good to see him getting his form back. Just real quick, wanted to talk a little bit about DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends log in for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Armando, why don't you tell our viewers and our listeners where they could find you on social media and where they could find your show?
They can find me on Twitter at MondoMan12. Follow the show account on Twitter at @LO_FLAPanthers. They could follow the Locked On Florida Panthers podcast anywhere they listen to podcasts. And I highly recommend people to listen to Friday's show of the Locked On Florida Panthers podcast as they hear my live reaction to Coach Quenneville resigning and what's to come after that. So definitely something that I recommend for people to listen to. And we're probably going to touch on the situation probably a few more times this week because the Florida Panthers do have 4 days off in between Saturday's game and when they host the Washington Capitals on Thursday.
All right. Well, it was a great moment, and I do recommend anyone to definitely check it out. And thank you so much, Armando, for doing this. And next time we have you here, we'll concentrate on the good stuff that your team is doing, and there's a lot of it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Gil.
All right. Take care. Carolina Hurricane winning their first 7 games to start the season. And joining us right now, Jared Ellis, the host of Locked On Hurricanes, to talk about the outstanding start that his team is getting off to. And Jared, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, not a problem. Just hanging out. Was watching the new movie with my dog whenever I got a message from you. I'm like, I can pause the movie for a minute. But that movie is awesome, and everyone needs to go watch it.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it, and that's you know, great news, and I'm glad you could take a little time to join us. Look, right now, your team is off to an incredible start, winning their first seven games. You look at this. They're second in the league in goals scored, first in the league in goals against. Where do you begin? What has been the key to this outstanding start for the Hurricanes right now?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of a few things, really. I think, obviously, coaching is big. Rob Brindamore's a heck of a coach. He just won the Jack Adams Award season. And I think you have the guys buying in to the motto and just everything that the Carolina Hurricanes are about and their culture. Guys are buying into that, and folks are wanting to come play here. You can look at that with a lot of the free agents we signed this offseason. And then the guys that have been around for a few years, guy Jordan Staal, who has been here through it all. He was here during bad years too. But then you also have like Sebastian Aho, Andre Svechnikov, Jordan Martinook, Jacob Slavin. These guys that have been through this rebuild and have tasted the success and have seen this Hurricanes team rebuild and into a cup contender, and they're able to attest to this culture. You can look at the success that they've had over the past few years and like, oh man, I want to go play with those guys, win with those guys, you know? And again, I just think it's really just the culture. And then you look at the games that they played so far, they've played really good team games. Every single person on the ice is doing their job. I've said it before on my show. I know, obviously, I do get some flack for it because I'm in North Carolina, but very much like the New England, they go out there and they do their job. Just like the Patriots might do your job, the Carolina Hurricanes do their job.
Talk to me a little bit about Andrei Svechnikov. I mean, 7 goals in 7 games, 28 shots on goal in 7 games. That's some pretty dominant numbers early on. What is he doing so well that he's off to this hot of a start?
Yeah, I would say with Svech, a few of his goals have been empty net goals, but they are goals nonetheless. With him, I think he's got his confidence back. I think an issue with him last year was how many he got called for. Yes, he did do some dumb stuff, but there were definitely some soft calls on there. And it's very much like anytime he got on the ice, the refs were looking for something. I feel that really affected his confidence. And because, it was anytime he was out on the ice, oh, whistle blows, he goes and sits in the box. I think he's got his confidence back, and he got the contract that he wanted this offseason. So it's not like he has to worry about that, like, oh, crap, where am I going to play the next season? No, he knows where he's going to be for the next 8 years, and he's ready to be here. He has said from the start, this is where he wants to play his entire career. And he's doing a lot of stuff I wanted to see him do after he got that contract. He is just taking the next steps to just elevate his game. I think really we're just missing him doing his signature right now.
Frederik Andersen playing lights out, a 1.33 goals against average, an incredible 956 save percentage. What has led to his outstanding numbers? Is it the defense the team is playing in front of him? Is it something he's doing differently this year, or a combination of the two?
I'm not sure there, honestly. I do think the defense here is definitely better than what was in Toronto, but there are some defensive lapses in front of him. I mean, we had to replace our entire blue line, or half of our blue line this offseason. Excuse me, I misspoke there. We had to replace half of it. So they're definitely still learning how to play with each other and gelling. And there's definitely some growing pains there. So I do think, you know, defense definitely plays a part of it. But I think he's also healthy now. He was is definitely dealing with some injuries over the past couple of seasons. He's not dealing with the Toronto media breathing down his neck, because we all know how tough that can be. And I think, you know, he's just in a system where, you know, he can, I don't know, almost breathe more. And I do think it's a combination of a few things there. I'm definitely interested to see how things go over the rest of the season, because I'm loving the hot start. Of course, my team is 7-0, but I definitely have in the back of my mind those past couple seasons in Toronto. Like, are we going to fall back into that, or what's going to happen? But at the end of the day, that's just something only time will tell.
Tony D'Angelo, been a controversial player at some of his earlier stops in the NHL. Right now, 5 assists on the power play, 8 points in 7 games. How is he fitting in, and how is he doing right now? What's keeping him going so well early on?
Yeah, controversial was a polite way of putting it there. I think at the end of the day, it's the folks around him that are helping him. One, with his off-ice issues. I think the Hurricanes, it wouldn't surprise me if they had a conversation of one strike and you're out kind of deal. And I think he's in a good environment, and I think he has good players around him to help him elevate his game. His line mate, or pairing partner, I guess you would say, is Ian Cole, who's a veteran. And I think that was a good pairing for him, because someone that he can learn from, say. And I think Tony has something to prove, I guess you would say, with his issues and kind of how folks had written him off. I guess he has a bit of a chip on his shoulder, I guess you would say. I think that's driving him. In this game, he had his first career Gordie Howe hat trick. So, I mean, that's something.
Looking ahead now, I mean, Rod Brind'Amour, such a experienced coach, seeing everything in this league, both as a player, as a coach. Do you think he'll be able to keep this team on an even keel going forward?
I do. I'm confident in Rod Brind'Amour's coaching. Obviously, there are going to be ups and downs during the season, whether it's the Hurricanes, Cylinders, whoever. Every team is going to have their ups and downs this season. Rod Brind'Amour has shown that he knows what it takes to win. Obviously, as he has a ring in his safe at home, he has his number up in the rafters for a reason. And then he won the Jack Adams for a reason. He knows how to coach in this league. He knows how to get through to players and get them through those rough spots. You look back to his first season as a head coach in 18-19, January didn't last in the league. Then they went to the Eastern Conference Final. He knows how to get things to click with his team and guys buy into what he's coaching. So I'm confident in him being able to coach this team as far as go.
All right. Real quick, just wanted to talk a little bit about Built Bar. You know, Built Bar has so many delicious flavors. There really is something for everyone. And when you talk to a Built Bar fan, they are definitely passionate about their favorites. And it's easy to tell why. Listen to some of these permanent flavors: mint brownie, cherry barcia, coconut, German chocolate, my personal favorite, salted caramel. I mean, sweet and salty at the same time. What could be bad about that? And if you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box. Well, you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors, so you could figure out which ones you love the most. And not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Check out the macros. Each bar has between 17 and 18 grams of protein, only 130 to 180 calories, just 4 or 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 or 5 net carbs per bar. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Built Bar is also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. So go to built.com right now. Use the promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. So, Jared, why don't you tell our listeners and our viewers on YouTube where they can find your podcast and where they can find you on social media?
Yes, they can find Hurricanes on any streaming platform, whatever you're listening to this show on, you can find it there. And you can find the show on Instagram at @LO_Hurricanes and myself on Twitter at @JaredEllis_96.
All right, Jared, thank you so much for doing this, and good luck to you and the Hurricanes along the way. All right, Gil Martin here on the Monday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. And right now it's my pleasure to welcome Jack Buschman of Locked On Blackhawks, who's been dealing with a lot of things this past week, to say the least. First, want to thank everybody for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. And Jack, how are you today?
I'm doing all right, Gil. It was a good Halloween weekend. I hope it was a fun one for you as well. Just unfortunately, Chicago Blackhawks are still dealing with both problems on and off the ice. So it's been a little bit frustrating, man, but here we are.
Let's start with the off-the-ice things, and we've already heard a lot of discussion about what happened 11 years ago and how the team did or did not deal with it at that time. How is all of this affecting the locker room and the atmosphere around the team right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not making life easier for anyone, especially when you're not winning right now, too. Everyone's frustrated about everything. It's tough for these players because they were just little kids, most of them, when this happened. Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane are the only two that still remain from that 2010 Stanley Cup team. So it's just tough on these kids right now. They're dealing with a lot of scrutiny, both on and off the ice, and they've answered the questions and, you know, talked about it with as much respect and as tough as it is. You know, they have to answer these questions from the media, even though it wasn't them that caused this problem 10 years ago. So it definitely has been difficult, and the players haven't shied away from saying that either. But unfortunately, they just got to kind of do their best to, when they're on the ice, focus on that. And I know that's probably easier said than done right now with how difficult the situation is. But it's definitely playing an impact on the players. And clearly, we're still without a win here after dropping both games over the weekend. So I definitely feel that it's weighing on these kids right now. And it's tough when it wasn't their fault, but they're the ones that have to deal with the after effect now because of all the bad people that ruined this organization and stained it forever.
You mentioned Toews and Kane being the only two players who were there then. How is the situation different for them, especially since they're expected to be leaders on this team and maybe they didn't show that leadership back in 2010?
That press conference they had on Sunday, it was tough to listen to, honestly, and I understand that Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane were trying to show respect to Stan Bowman, who always did them well throughout his time. But Sunday, that day wasn't about Stan Bowman or what he did to Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane to help them. No, it was all about what he didn't do to help out Kyle Beach. And just to hear that Patrick Kane, I thought, didn't dance on the line as far as Toews did, but Toews kind of just said some uncaptain worthy things, which out of Jonathan Toews, I mean, most people feel that he's, you know, usually a good leader, but in this situation, I don't know how he could say Stan Bowman was a good man after, especially this was an hour after Kyle Beach just dropped that TSN interview. So I get what they were trying to do, but they just got to read the room better and know that they can't praise a man for what he did in this organization. He didn't let this happen for 11 years, never did anything about it, never made the right call. You can't show respect to someone like that, especially on such an important day for Kyle Beach and all the survivors out there as well. So it was a little discouraging to see both those two tenured players kind of go that path when they first spoke with the media about this.
Do you think this undermines the captaincy at all?
I don't know. It's a weird situation, and I think it's tough with the young kids because this is you know, this is a still a pretty young Blackhawks team. I know we went out and got a lot of different pieces, but there's still a lot of young kids who have looked up to Jonathan Toews since they've been here. You know, as I said, a lot of people felt he was one of the best leaders in all of sports, not just hockey. I don't know what's going on, and obviously I don't want to touch on that because I'm not in the locker room. I'm not having those conversations, and I don't know how they're feeling, but it was definitely a situation where I think everyone who read Jonathan Toews' comments were like, what is this guy doing right now?
What about the fan base? What has their reaction been, and how are they handling things going forward?
Yeah, it's a mixed bag. You know, I'm hearing people that want nothing to do with Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane ever again. People don't want to watch the Blackhawks. And I understand. However, I'm not going to argue with anybody about how they feel about all of this. Fans booing, I completely understand it. Not going to games, I get it. It's just tough when, you know, this is all coming down so fast, and it's just unfortunate that this is the situation that the fans have been left with for this team, the team that they loved, a team that revitalized sports in Chicago. And as I said earlier, it's now forever going to be stained. So I completely understand each and every fan's frustration right now. And with the way the Blackhawks are playing on the ice too, I think the attendance numbers are definitely going to continue to drop here in Chicago. I would not be surprised at all if this is going to be a struggle in that area for them this season.
And you did mention on the ice so far, the team is winless. I mean, how do they regroup and turn it around after such turmoil and understandably so? You know, from an on the ice perspective, what can this team do?
The $1 million question, Gil. I think, you know, every time they go out there, I say, they can't lose again, right? They're not going to lose all of their first 9 games. Here we are. I mean, we've had one lead this year through those 9 games. It took them 7 to even grab one at first. So yeah, I keep thinking to myself, you know, maybe this is the night that this team finally starts to click. That's yet to happen. And I don't know if it's the message that Kelleton is sending. The players obviously aren't going to go and call him out to the media, but they're saying that this is a player's problem. This isn't all on Jeremy Kelleton. And I think it's just a combination of both. The players on the ice need to be more efficient. They need to be producing more than they have, certainly at even strength. Blackhawks have mustered up nothing all year at 5-on-5. And then I think the combination of obviously what's going on around the team right now, I think there's just a lot of weight on everybody's shoulders, and it feels like a bubble that is just, it's getting bigger and bigger, and it's bursting, and we're in the midst of it right now. So as I said, the $1 million question, Gil, I think they just need to find a way to put together a strong 60-minute effort and be the better team at even strength. You know, if you're getting outscored and outchanced every night at even strength, you're not going to win very many games, and that's what the Blackhawks have let happen to them so far. So game number 10, maybe the first W. I have no idea. Not if they keep playing the way they have so far this season, though.
How big a relief will it be when that first W does finally get there?
Honestly, it almost feels still irrelevant in the city of Chicago right now. The on-ice stuff just doesn't feel important at the moment, to be honest, Gil. That's all I can really say.
Do you think there's anything this franchise can do? I mean, they've talked about taking, you know, the offender's name off the Stanley Cup. But is there anything else that this team, this organization can do to try to win back the confidence of the fans? Forget the hockey aspect of it, just after what happened.
Yeah, I think I hope that the Wirtz family and all the ownership group continue to go about this right way. They requested to get Bradley Aldrich's name off of the Stanley Cup. That was a right step. I'm still not sure what's going on in court. I've heard a bunch of back and forth discussion about whether or not the Blackhawks, if they're going to take this to court, if they're looking for a settlement. I just hope to see them take all these next steps, take all the right next steps. That's what they can continue to do. And if for the people who went through the full 107-page report, as tough as it was, the Black and Jenner law firm found out that the Wirtz family did not know anything about this. So to see them handling this the right way, at least so far, and hopefully they'll continue to do so, I think that's really all we can do right now, unfortunately. I wish I would have done more 10 years ago, 11 years ago now, and that's the only way that this honestly would have been fixed, and they dropped the ball when the time when they needed to come up with the proper response the most, they fell completely flat.
Yeah, no question about that. Jack, I want to thank you for doing this. I know this has not been an easy week for you. And fans, you can follow Jack on Twitter at JackBushman2. And of course, you can listen to the Locked On Blackhawks podcast anywhere you get podcasts. That's going to do it for us on this episode of the Locked On NHL podcast. Want to thank everybody for joining me, Jack Bushman of Locked On Blackhawks, Armando Velez of Locked On Florida Panthers, and Jared Ellis of Locked On Hurricanes. I'm Gil Martin. You can listen to me every Monday here on the Locked On NHL podcast, and of course, every day on Locked On Islanders. Have a great day, everybody. Stay safe, and thanks for listening to the Locked On NHL podcast.